One would just like to note for the record that one has asked for many times a little extra support and facilitation, but one does not feel it is given.
We'll get you a Wonder Bra.
Wonderful.
I guess you knew what she was on about. Oh, no, I did.
Try to dial down the gravity.
You absolute sack of beans.
Hey, at least your eyes aren't sagging, Indy.
It comes for us all. Exactly. Oh, it comes for us all. John, Jonathan, looking like you could do with a little bit of a filler today. What's happened?
Filler.
Too many late nights? Too many late nights?
I think I could do some uppers. I think that's what I could do with.
You've been partying too much with Sienna.
Yeah, too much partying. I'm in post-party mode. I'm all partied out. Can I just say, I'm quite proud of my golf cake. I need to show it you, Ryan. This is just going to blow your mind because I know you appreciate golf.
Is this going to make up for Ryan's poor après-ski performance?
This is my golf cake, which I made, and it is a meringue outer, and it has a vegan lemon cake inner.
Why does a nine-year-old girl want a golf cake?
I guess because we went to mini golf. We went to mini golf.
Okay, that makes
so she had
sense.
A mini golf party and then went to TGI's. And actually, she was also the one who won out of all of the 11 kids. She won her first prize in, what is it? I don't know how. What do you say in golf, Ryan? Like, lowest number
trophy?
Of strokes? No, you know, the person like has the least
talk to
number
Ryan
of...
about low number of strokes.
According to Ryan, long is only what a minute. A minute is long, so I'm pretty sure a low number of strokes tallies and tracks pretty well.
Oh, 60 seconds, indeed. You can do a lot in 60 seconds.
Don't believe that's the case, but...
Depends the context of what you're working in, to be honest.
Exactly.
Working with lasers, you can do a lot with 60 seconds.
That's very true. Thank you, Ryan. But for anyone that wants to work with Ryan, just note that 60 seconds is a long time for him, so...
I think they've generated the most energy ever from fusion in less than a second, I think it was.
Correct, yeah.
In your face, Indy.
I don't think so. Not in mine, Ryan.
Not that lucky. Replicating the sun on Earth, less than 60 seconds. Bam. It did take decades to fucking do it, but still.
A long old time to get the magnets in the right place.
Yes, the magnets.
Can I finish my burger?
Burger?
No.
Is it a vegan burger? Can we just double check?
It is vegan.
I bought a vegan sausage roll today.
That's right, I love vegan meat. And vegan sausage rolls are the best. Where'd you get it from? Greg's?
Greg's. I didn't eat it, I gave it to someone else. But still, I bought it. The people that were in Greg's assumed I would eat it.
Would you like a medal for that?
Just making conversation.
Is it like, I'm going to be vegan vicariously by buying...
Through others.
Vegan
if I buy enough vegan food for others, then I will feel... I'm contributing. I felt really bad today, actually. As part of this presentation I did, I printed a load of paper. By far, the most I've printed in the last 4 years. I was thinking those poor trees, especially as I'm quite a big part of the CSR group.
Never mind.
Remember you threw a fake snowball at me last podcast, John? Look.
I did. Oh, look. You've got a white one.
You caught it.
Well done.
I caught it.
That was a fake
snowball.
Yeah, I think that was quite a funny podcast, actually. I can't wait to put the trailer out.
You put me in a skip, Lee.
He doesn't mind, Lee. Literally, Lee was like, is Ryan okay?
Don't worry about Ryan's
feelings.
Don't worry about Ryan's feelings.
Who gives a shit what he thinks? Keep doing it, I say. Do it even more.
Don't worry about Ryan's feelings. Nobody does.
We put Ryan in the corner all the time.
Nobody puts Ryan in a corner.
Everybody does in our podcast.
Put him in the closet. Welcome to another episode of the Digitools in a Cruel World podcast. This week, we are sponsored by FreeAgent, who are an award-winning online accounting software, possibly the friendliest out there in the world. And of course, for anyone that doesn't know FreeAgent, they are one of the most jargon-free and easy-to-use products in the market. They offer a whole bunch of features, as long with free training and support for you and your clients, if you're an accountant wanting to get people on board. And even better, FreeAgent is free for your clients if they have a NatWest, RBS, or Ulster Bank business account, or even a Metal Bank account if they're really cool and funky. And there's lots more that you can find out on their website. It's freeagent.com. And we're very happy to have them sponsoring this week's episode. Indy, how are things going on with you at the moment?
Yeah, good, John. Very excited about today's episode with the incredible, wonderful, amazing, yet to be met and validated and confirmed by myself, Sabi Gill, who is the CEO of Dext. and I'm fresh off the back from a weekend full of partying, 9-year-old style partying, screaming kids, golf, miniature golf, bowling, you name it, we did it. Different meals, up and down the country, and now I have a sick child in tow.
Ah, so. There you go. That's a sign of some serious partying, isn't it, if you're still suffering after the weekend. Ryan, how are things with you? You were, I believe, holding the planet together on your recent trip to Iceland.
I was, yeah. It erupted before I got there, then calmed down, and then erupted after I left. Yeah, that was good. And I'm even wearing a shirt today. Not that I'm normally topless. That came out wrong. But I'm wearing a proper smart shirt today. It's been a big day presenting.
Amazing.
How are you, John? How's life with you?
I am good. I'm down in Bristol for the weekend. And apart from a minor allergic reaction, which makes me look like some sort of weird puffed up mushroom or something. But yeah, I've had a pretty chilled and peaceful weekend. So it's all good.
That's the shame of being on a podcast, right? No one can see your puffed out mushroom-like face.
I have a face for radio.
John, I think that, to be honest, we just need to look at your diet, mate. We really do. I think we joked around about the vegan meat, but maybe it's time that you made some shifts in your diet.
Maybe, but the thought of vegan meat crossing my lips does not do anything for me.
Well, I think you just need to be around the right sort of person that can cook.
Maybe, but I can cook, so it's all good.
You wouldn't be like the only vegan accountant, right? There's quite a few. There's a tribe growing, I think, of vegan accountants.
There is a tribe of vegan accountants, actually. I think, I'm trying to think of one because I'm connected to one on LinkedIn and a few others that really promote veganism and, you know, environmental causes. So good. Not that those are inextricably linked, of course, because it has been proven that veganism does not save the planet. A little bit science fact for you there.
Would you call it a tribe? You know, call it like a crop of vegan?
A tribe
feels the wrong term.
What? Is tribe the wrong term?
No, it just feels like caveman-ish. They ate meat. I feel it should be like...
Oh my God, cavemen did not eat meat all the time. There were whole swaths of cave people, not just men, cave people who did not eat meat.
True, but the ones that didn't eat meat, the ones that died out, because the ones that did eat meat got bigger brains and lasted.
You guys are accountants.
That's another science fact.
Okay, you do not know all of history. You only know at best 50%.
I do know that they didn't care if they were called cavemen or cave people. I can pretty much state that.
They're probably more like called Ugg.
I feel like I still work with cavemen, to be honest.
Oh, they probably like sang to each other because like music was a way of telling stories, wasn't it?
That is it. No. So maybe we should, on that note, move into app news.
Maybe you can sing some app news to us, John.
So I'll kick off this week. And it is at the end of QuickBooks Desktop. It appears that as of the 31st of July, 2024, over in the US, Intuit are stopping the subscriptions for QuickBooks Desktop Pro, Premier, Mac, and Enhanced Payroll. And most over in the US are stating that this is the beginning of the end of QuickBooks Desktop. We know it finished over in the UK. Looks like it's going to be finished over in the US soon too.
On that sad news, I've got something very exciting because we have another unicorn on our hands. DataSnipper, who have just completed a Series B funding round of $100 million, have now got themselves to a $1 billion valuation, which is, I think, pretty incredible because Series B, I don't know, feels a little bit early maybe for unicorn status. But anyway, we had Index Ventures leading the round and Insight Partners, who invested in a previous Series A back in September 22, were part of a recent cohort of investors. Prior to that, essentially, DataSnipper had been self-funded. So I'd gone through a few like small sort of friends and family rounds, if you like, and bits and pieces. But for anyone that's not familiar with DataSnipper, they are huge in the audit space. And effectively, it's an Excel plugin that allows you to do a mixture of OCR and AI-based matching for things like transaction sample testing and things. And they are growing great guns. And if you consider that they've not spent a huge amount of stuff on marketing, they've done a little bit of stuff. You've probably seen some of their viral stuff on LinkedIn. I think this is an incredible success story.
Yeah, we are exploring using DataSnipper ourselves. But you use it, don't you, John?
Yeah, we've been using it for, gosh, almost 2 years now. And yeah, it's definitely a tool that we would never be able to take away from our staff because they would go absolutely bonkers if we tried to.
And we're due to have Vidya Peters on in a few episodes' time. So that'll be exciting to talk to the lady herself. There's also another bit of news from an accounting software in France, Penny Lane, which has also become France's latest unicorn. They're raising another 40 million euros. And that's in addition to the different rounds that they've done in 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023. So that takes it with all of the funding rounds to date. It means they've effectively reached a valuation of unicorn status. They've got roughly 120,000 small and medium businesses that rely on the software. It seems to have grown quite considerably over the last couple of years. They've got about 2,000 accounting firms on the platform. What I really like about Penny Lane, actually, is that they've had a real focus on what I think is a really big opportunity for accounting softwares to leverage financing and embedded finance, because in their latest releases, what they're promoting is the fact that they will actually see themselves as being the next Konto. And so it's really interesting that they're choosing Konto, which is a neobank and has expanded all across Europe. But I happen to know that Penny Lane also rolled out financing through its accounting software last year through a third party where they just called on different invoices and whatnot. What they're planning to do is a little bit more in the AI space as well, but it is just quite a unique little find for an accounting software to go in that direction.
Do you think Penny Lane have got a hold on the French market? I'm not sure, to be honest, because obviously QuickBooks pulled out of the French market last year, I think, and obviously we're still not quite sure what Xero want to do European-wise. Hope that is on the strategic plan for some point in the not-too-distant future. Do you think Penny Lane would stand up to that if they did?
I mean, they made it quite far ahead, actually, in the technology terms. So they've got their own in-house OCR technology for the data capture perspective. Like I said, they've embedded some things around the financing and some around payment technology as well, similar to what we have in the app ecosystem here. But instead of having multiple different providers, they've concentrated on, okay, we want to control and own data capture, we want to control and own the payment technology piece, and therefore look at underwriting or financing, yeah? And then we want to look at AI. So rather than just opening up with lots of different apps who then eat a little bit of that revenue opportunity, they've owned it themselves. So I think it's more defensible, although they just have a very small base at the moment. 2,000 accounting firms is not much. I do think that there's opportunity for other accounting tech to come into the space, but whether they would have the same traction, questionable.
That's always a question, isn't it? Moving to a wholly different continent then, Change GPS have recently been acquired by Access. And so for anyone that's not familiar with Change GPS, they're an Australian-based, I guess, practice management solution, although they do bring together a few different core elements of products that maybe people will be familiar with. The key one, like I say, is practice management, but they then also have some light CRM type functionality in there as well. They also then have a feature called Progress, which allows you to measure a client's strategic goals and then benchmark those and keep on top of those, I guess, like a product like Clarity, if people are familiar with that. And then there is also a tax planning, tax advisory piece to the product. So four key features, if you like. And just interesting that the Access seem to be wanting to fish in the Australian pond at the moment, because quite a few of their acquisitions have been based in that neck of the woods. And I wonder if that's a specific sort of strategic objective or if it's just serendipitous and that's the way things go. But obviously you've got Xero play big in that market at the moment, and you've got a sort of a slightly resurgent NYOB at the moment as well, coming back to bite. So I wonder if Access are trying to maybe position themselves to get in on that market as well at some point in the future.
Yeah, it makes sense. Change GPS are well known over in the Australian market, so it's a good acquisition, I believe, by Access. I don't know the financials behind it, but yeah, we hear them being talked about a lot over there. I guess I'm the bearer of bad news again after saying it's potentially the end of QuickBooks Desktop in the US. It is the end of classic invoicing for Xero, their entire product base, from the 2nd of September 2024. They do like to give us fair warning, don't they? They did that with their reports, the classic reporting, and they're doing that with classic invoicing. We believe that they've brought out most of the functionality that's needed. And as they did with reports, anything that has not been done yet, they'll be doing over the course of next year, be that the ability to create overpayments, view detailed history and notes, copy invoices to other documents, and I guess other features that have not been replaced yet from the classic invoicing.
And there's definitely some angst at the moment, isn't there? I saw a few things on varying forums at the moment with people trying to build up support for petitions to say, look, we're not happy that the classic invoicing is going and the new invoicing is not up to scratch. Yeah, we've got plenty of time for that transition to happen, but it's going to be interesting to see how much attention Xero pay to these various things that are rumbling around, because there's definitely a bit of a movement of people, probably more so in Australia and New Zealand than maybe in other markets. But yeah, there's some very unhappy customers at the moment with these things. But we talked about this before, and Xero are having to make these changes because their underlying technology is being shifted and adapted and modernized. And unfortunately, the old features that we're all familiar with are, I guess, a victim of those changes.
Yeah, people don't like change. Unless it's change GPS and you're an access group, people don't like change. So they tend to resist it. And we saw that with the reporting. And there was a lot, as soon as they announced it, there was a lot of concern. But then once it's actually gone through, I don't know of anyone that was then up in arms about it. I think it'd be the same with classic invoicing. As long as the functionality comes in the new invoicing, people will just get used to it.
Agreed.
Carbon has made some changes to its billing and payments functionality. So there's a billing workflow that removes manual steps of reconciling time, work and billing in the platform. And there's some flexible billing options, so you can take hours off your billing process however you bill your clients. And if you bill based on time and materials, you'll eliminate the double handling of data and never miss a billable minute. There's also some extra features around if you bill based on fixed fees and value-based recurring work, you can link the recurring bills to the recurring work schedules. And also some other bits around faster and automatic payments, so that clients can pay using a payment method of their choice, and some real-time reporting that's linked to that as well, so that you can get real-time reporting to understand your profitability and know your cost of delivery and accurately price your services, all in the platform.
I have some other exciting news as well. We've got a new product launching in the UK, which is Expert. For those people who are across these things, you'll know that Expert is an Australian business, has been building up a sizable customer base over there over the last few years. And effectively, if you want a comparator, it's very similar to what was Xavier Analytics, which is now Dext Precision, and also has some of the features that you'll see in SIFT as well. So it allows you to connect into Xero and to have a whole bunch of triggers and alerts sent out to you, or things that need to be monitored, so that you can improve things like data quality in Xero, but also have some practice workflows. I've seen the products as a precursor to their launch here in the UK. I must admit, I hadn't seen it for a good couple of years prior to that. And it looks genuinely interesting. Like I say, you can plug into Xero and QuickBooks Online, and the whole product appears to be built on the Microsoft Power platform. So there's lots of opportunity to do things like building Power BI into it and other bits and pieces. There's a whole bunch of features. So best thing to do is go on the website and have a look and see if that's of interest. They, like I say, just allow you to be able to identify potential issues, for example, flagging VAT errors that might appear on invoices or in postings, and actually be able to resolve them from the app as well. So that's quite a handy, neat little feature, because it stops that sort of chopping and changing between screens and between products to get things resolved.
Yeah, I liked Expert about 3-4 years ago when I looked at it, but yeah, it just wasn't ready for the UK market. So pretty cool that it's coming over here. We'll have to take a look, especially, I guess, with not much has grown out of this market after Xavier became Dext Precision. It seems to be that just took over. We've not really seen any competitors. So competition's always good. We get to see Expert over it.
A little bit on security now. So there was a deep fake CFO that duped a Hong Kong business into paying a £20 million payment. It was one of the most elaborate cyber heist that was revealed, of criminals using fake videos and artificial intelligence generated voices to trick a finance worker into making the payment. I think this is quite scary, actually, because it was the first time that you're seeing an example of how people can use video calls, previous or publicly available video conferences, webinars, and dubbed audio to then create what was a CFO on the call who was required for the security checks. And then this allowed them to defraud to the tune of £20 million. I think there's a lot more to be seen on that, because there's more news coming out about how we need to start protecting our identities and definitely being able to see how this impacts on the KYC, KYB, AML processes. And there's probably more education, more technology that we could look at understanding a bit more of in terms of deepfake protection. there's a security firm that's obviously pushed some information out on Accounting Web on how you can go about deep fake protection through employee training, awareness, two-factor authentication and verification protocols, etc. But it is interesting to understand the ramifications of something like this for the accounting industry, in particular where it comes to doing the AML and KYC remotely and how people are able to do that through video conferences. Because in the past, if I'm not mistaken, a few years back, when they made the updates to the AML processes, video conference post-COVID was included as one form of verification. Is that still the case?
Yeah, that's still the case, yeah. I spoke to an AML expert the other day about this, actually, and they were saying that they've got some serious concerns about a lot of banks in the UK are completely unprepared for this risk of deep fake type technology simulating people, whether that's simulating voices or images or videos, because obviously some apps make use of a whole bunch of biometrics to identify people or even to make payments. I think the flip side of that, I would say, is that if you're a business that's got good, strong controls, you should never be in a place where someone gets on a video call and asks you to make payments to the tune of £20 million cumulatively or in total or singularly, because you should have processes that enforce a series of actions that are verifiable. And it shouldn't just be that the CFO gets on a call and says, yeah, write a check, basically, or make a payment. I can't think of many businesses that should or could be run like that, that are going to be effective. And there's lots of easy ways of building a control system that will manage that.
I think the critical part is that it wasn't an interactive call, was it? It was just it got on the CFO, I assume, I've not seen it, but probably took control, stated something in the way that would, and you should always make it interactive. Although I am now wondering if we can deepfake John in some way. It just might make this whole podcast thing a lot easier.
You make an assumption that I'm not already a deep fake. This could be someone else entirely, you don't know, Ryan.
You're definitely not that deep.
Shallow fake.
He's right, though. He does look a little bit puffy today to be John. That might not actually be the real John.
Yeah, there's always a little error, isn't there?
Should have turned those beauty settings off on the camera.
He's explained away through this allergic reaction, but actually it could just be that he's a deep fake right now. I don't know how I feel.
Deep fried,
very,
more like.
Very possible. Yeah, that's it. Right, let's wrap up news with a final release from Sage for Accountants. They've released a lot of little features over January. The first one is to assign clients to users. I do find that a little bit weird. Most people usually assign users to clients, but they're assigning clients to users. Different approach. But that's been needed in the platform for ages. At present or before this release, you would just add one of your staff in and they'd have access to all clients, which is not great from a security point of view, especially if you need your staff to only see certain client information. So this was needed. I'm glad it's been released. You've got some enhancements to Futrely by Sage, including workspace templates for efficient report distribution and then forecasting enhancements, focusing mostly on the cash flow. You've now got HR Essentials included in Sage Payroll. So I think their way of trying to bring in some of the basic HR elements, probably in reaction to what QuickBooks have done releasing their QuickBooks HR tool recently. You've got automatic FPS adjustments if you need to make a historic change to a pay run. You've got some changes to bank fees, enhanced invoice management, the ability to drag and drop different functionality around. And then something that I was actually baffled was not there in the first place, which was the ability to transfer subscriptions between practices. I just assumed all of the accounting software had that. But now Sage does. I know QuickBooks and Xero had that before, but Sage now has that in place. And then another couple of things, one of them being Sage Assistant, which is, I guess, their support tool, has now got a more seamless handover to a live agent if you need them to take control and help you navigate around the product. When I came to come on the studio today, I was like, oh, what's this video? Why am I not in this video? And I clicked on it. It was your thing with Lucy Cohen. I was like, I've been left out.
Oh, because that was
on holiday. You were on holiday.
When you were on holiday.
No, I know. But for a second, pang right here.
You were pretending to be a Viking.
Do you see that I left? I went there just after it stopped. The volcanoes had stopped erupting. And once I left, they started again.
It's amazing.
IQ of volcanoes.
You're like some sort of like tectonic, you know, placeholder. Plug. You're the equivalent of a tectonic butt plug, Ryan. Is that what you're saying?
Why do you have to go to butt? Plug in itself was fine. It didn't need to bring butts into it.
I agree. Like, I really just think you just took that extra little step. It's just your mind, John. It's just your mind. The way it works, it's like, let me... Like, it's like a sexual dictionary of everything.
Sexual
any simple,
dictionary.
Any word. How do we make this sexual? Oh, I made a golf ball cake. Oh, that looks like a really nice big white bollock. That's the way that John thinks.
That is what he was thinking. I could read his mind. He was definitely thinking that when he saw it.
I'm not entirely sure that was... I'm not entirely sure referencing one singular bollock is not either sexy or
a large one.
it was large and it was white. So you're more like, you know... All right, someone heard the bollocks. someone heard the bollocks, Ryan, and it came a barking.
Oh, I see what you're saying, you naughty people.
He's like, oh, that's my cue.
He's running, he's like, oh, get there quick.
Oh, gosh.
So we are incredibly lucky to be joined by Sabi Gill, the CEO of Dext. It feels like forever we wanted to get you on our pod, Sabi, since you joined, I think, over a year ago at Dext. So firstly, thank you for coming on. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you. Yeah, look, it's great to be here. Yes, it's been over a year, but look, it's been a phenomenal start, I would say. There's been a lot of change, I think, in the industry in general, right, globally, because we have operations globally. And there's been a lot of change, whether it's legislation, whether it's compliance. So as an organization, we've been through a lot with just trying to define product roadmaps, trying to develop new product, going back and looking at the amount of innovation that we did deliver, and this time really looking to drive innovation that makes a difference. Because it's okay driving innovation and using cool features, but if people aren't seeing the benefit of it, they never see the derived value of it. So we're very much now focusing on what is it that people really need? What is it people really want? And what are all the features that people have been asking for that we haven't delivered? So that's sort of on the product side. The other side is just making sure that as an organization, we're built up for success. And then finally, making sure that every accountant, bookkeeper, client has a go-to, whether that's an account management, whether that's support. Sometimes it's just questions around knowledge base. So yeah, look, the business has been going through a lot over the last 18 months. It's probably the reason why we haven't had the opportunity to talk. But yeah, look, I'm excited about the journey and the path that we're on. And from the feedback and everything that we've been getting internally, our NPS score, externally, our customer NPS score, Trustpilot, any of those. Yeah, we had a small dip due to a pricing change that we put in last year. But we're back to pre-pricing levels now.
Yeah. So I think that you said quite a lot there, and there's a lot that we want to try and unpick. Would be really good just before we do that to take a little step back and just understand more about what your journey has been leading up to this point, your experience on that front, and then also why and how that translated to what you saw as the challenge in Dext. Because at the time you came aboard, there had been several different changes in Dext at that senior level. So it's very unstable at that time. So it's very interesting to hear a little bit about why that challenge was the one that you decided to kick the hornet's nest on a little bit.
Absolutely. I've got over 25, 30 years of experience just in the software industry, whether that's large enterprise businesses, small startups, scale-ups, public and private. Probably the most relevant around this particular role was my 2 years when I was the managing director of UK and Ireland for Sage, right? Part their largest business at that moment in time, very much still focused around small, medium businesses. I was part of the CBI chair for the Northeast, which is where Sage was headquartered. I'm also part of the Digital Economy Council for the Secretary of State. I'm a chair of Digital Leaders. So very much always been in the digital leadership tech space, and then the accounting space, part qualified accountant as well. But it's just a space that I just find really, really empowering, right? For small businesses, when you can really help them. And they are, you hear this multiple times, but it's true. They are the backbone, right? There's 6.5 million small businesses here in the UK. When you add up all the key markets that we're in globally, there are close to 150,000 accounting offices and bodies and establishments that we deal with and have the opportunity to deal with on a global basis. But yeah, look, I've always been in that space, absolutely loved it. So when I was approached about the opportunity, you know, I already knew of what was Receipt Bank back in the Sage days, because when I was there, the company had acquired Auto Entry, which was the biggest competitor. So I've always had this close affiliation to the space, but also to Receipt Bank when it was known. So when the opportunity came to me and said, hey, Sabi, we'd love for you to come interview for this particular role, it was a very quick decision, right? I knew the opportunity. I knew the accounting space. I knew of the product. And look, the great thing is it's the only thing that we do, right? You don't get distracted by general ledgers or reporting environments or databases or any of that stuff. We're really specializing in bookkeeping data automation. And when it's the only thing that you do, just makes it really simple in relation to who you talk to, the value proposition that you have. And when it lands, a lot of people benefit from it. And the market opportunity is massive, right? When I talk about 150,000 accountants just in the markets that we operate in, and by the way, we only operate in four major territories globally. So there's so much more opportunity. And to me, that's the reason why I joined. Right? It's great when you have a great product market fit for your product. The opportunity is big. You know who you're selling to. You know the value proposition lands really well. And, you know, when we've got over 700,000 customers in our environment today, and then you've got relationships with over, I think it's like 12,000 accountants and bookkeepers globally, and then constantly you've got close to 450,000 people using your product every 90 days, or within those 90 days, somebody's logged in and registered usage. It's massive. And that's the reason why I joined.
When you talk about the size and scale of Dex and some of the things that you're doing, obviously Dex has made acquisitions and looked at different ways they can extend the product set in terms of bookkeeping automation. And that includes Dextension. So I don't know if you could talk a little bit more about that in terms of the launch of it and the subsequent perhaps fallout with Xero over the release of it. And whether that is just an issue of your size and scale, i.e. that there are other businesses, Mayday, for example, who have done a similar thing. And it's not anything other than it's better to beg for forgiveness and not ask for permission. But Dex being the size that it is warrants a different attention, different level of approach. And you touched again upon how you worked with some of the other big players in this market. So it'd be good to hear how that's gone down for you.
Yeah, look, Dextension was something that sort of came out from our UX team. We sat down with a number of our key strategic accounts who were Xero users, and we had our team just observe, right, hours and hours worth of user interaction between Dex and Xero. And what we were finding was that even though there's an integration between both products, we saw and monitored just the number of clicks that people were doing to literally what most people would say seamlessly move through the applications. But what we noticed was that there were four clicks being made to get from one system to another, or bring up an invoice, or bring up a scan, or do some bank matching and those sort of things. And what we were able to do through using a Chrome extension was really cut that down to literally one click, right? Or cut the time saving down from 4 seconds to 1 second in relation to the engagement and interaction. We reviewed the way people searched for things and made the search engine slightly faster and quicker because we matched things almost automatically. We knew it was the first thing that everybody did when they went into a bank matching screen. They press, you know, the button that says match. So why not just do that automatically as soon as you go into the panel and then do that if you know that's what people end up doing 9 times out of 10. So that's what Chrome extensions allow you to do. It really allows you to be able to put in cool features and insights and reports and highlighting dashboards and activity that you wouldn't normally be able to put into an application unless you went in and programmed it differently. So that's what we did. We came up with this Dextension. We had a couple of really experienced Chrome developers who came in and said, actually, I can do that. And I can do it quite quickly. And then they would just constantly play. We'd then go back to the users. And then Craig came out with this tool. And look, we value the Xero partnership. So we went to Xero in advance before XeroCon last year. And I was heavily involved in those discussions. And we shared it with them. And they looked at it. And one of the things I think it opened up a question for them is that it was ending up being quite intrusive in the user experience. And the general feedback that we got quite quickly was, actually, I don't know how to see where Dex starts and Xero ends because they were so integrated, which is actually a really good point, right, for a user, because it's almost like I use both of these applications. I want them to be as seamless And it was almost like actually when something changed, what the worry from Xero was obviously, but Sabi, we can't now see what's Xero related and what Dext related. So that's when we said, okay, look, what we'll do is we will continue our rollout, but we'll do it in a very controlled manner. So it's under a beta program. And now what we're doing is just working really closely with Xero and their development team and their program team, just to make sure what can be accepted and what can't be. But we could easily have rolled it out there and begged for forgiveness afterwards. But with a relationship like Xero, right, where we work very closely with each other. And by the way, since then, we've also come out with an extension for QuickBooks as well. And we've been working really closely with them. We're getting other GL providers who have now, I think, seen the power of the extension. And so actually, what else can you help us with on other ones? So it's going to constantly continue. But for us, it's important to just make sure that whatever you do in these sort of instances, some people will ask for permission or others won't. It's up to them how they approach it. But we're very collaborative and we feel that anything that could potentially in any way harm a relationship, it's easier just being upfront, right? What's the worst that can happen in those instances?
Actually, it was probably pitched to us slightly differently, but that is John Toon stirring up rumors again. John, naughty John. Is it fair to say that you're able to take elements of the core product and then tailor it for a particular need or use case? And how is that any different from leveraging the API?
Yeah, look, what makes it really different is that when you think about APIs, it's very much about data moving in and out of an application. It's not as real time as you would really like it, right? Something happens somewhere else in the system and you want it to be recorded on the screen that you're currently working on. That isn't always possible because normally when you're in a particular screen or application or module or whatever, you're very much dependent on what's happening there and then in the moment. Whereas what Chrome extensions allow you to do is constantly monitor everything that's going on in the environment and then bring up that information, bring up that data. One of the best features that everybody loves is the fact that when you're in Dex Prepare, you're able to put in a health score relating to the current health of that client based on the activities that are going on in Xero. And it's also the same thing if you were in Xero, you'd see your health score also appear. So now all of a sudden you've got two health scores that are appearing in two different parts of the application, all pointing to the same information, same data. Normally what you'd end up doing is you would almost have to log in separately, two separate logins, separate data. But now you just download the Chrome extension and then purposely switch everything on that you would like. By doing it that way, actually, we really do control the user experience and allow the user to determine what goes on and what doesn't, so that all of a sudden it doesn't screw up the Xero system or the QBO system or any of the other extensions that we're putting out there. But the test cases are all the ones, and these are live test cases, right? Live use cases, because it's all based on the activity that people are performing when they are in Xero or when they're in QBO. And any of those, right, whether it's bank matching, invoice matching, whether it's invoice statement reconciliations or bank statement reconciliations or supplier statements coming in, a suggested description, because sometimes Xero cuts down the number of characters and we can go back and look at the original transaction because we bought that transaction in. Yeah, look, a lot of the use cases that we're actually putting in place are real live examples, right? We're not building anything that we think people might need. These are live use cases that all of our base are telling us. And I think we've got over 400 people just on the beta version at the moment without it actually being physically released.
That is a movement in, I guess, the way that you've looked at how the user experience teams and the streamlining of overall how somebody is using each of the products to then therefore make it a better end experience, reduce the number of clicks, and again, activate people to have the information at a touch of a button. How does that fit with what was the 5 product Dex plan? Has that now been scrapped? And that was pre you, or just certainly when you were coming in. How does that fit with that?
The only 3 that we've got today are very much Dex Prepare, Dex Commerce, and Dex Precision. Those products were very much standalone products before I joined. And I think at some point, I think that 5-product strategy was very much about bringing those in and encompassing other components and building a suite of products. Where we are going now is very much around platform play, right? When you've got as many users as we have on one particular product, the best way, potentially taking any acquisitions or any other products, is to try and find the benefits that those existing people on your largest product set can have when using the other applications that you have, right? Whether it's Prepare, Commerce, or any other acquisitions or add-ons that we have on our product roadmap. And to me, that's where our future lies. It's very much creating a platform that you use, you come on and you use Dex. Now, is it a case of you use Dex Prepare, Dex Precision, Dex Commerce, or anything else that we continue to put on there? So that's very much where we're heading.
And is that a deviation as well from your perspective? Is that now a plan to build rather than acquire? Because that's what we've seen a lot of in this space is growth by acquisition, but it feels and seems like Dex is actually building. So what's your philosophy on that?
Yeah, no, we are always open to acquisitions. At the moment, we've got 3 extremely very powerful products in Prepare, Precision and Commerce. We've got enough on our plate with just trying to embed all of those and create one unified platform, and one unified experience, and just making sure all of that sort of works. And that's on our roadmap. There are other areas that we are always looking out for, right? What are the adjacent product areas that we feel could add to the overall experience and owning some of, whether it's pre-accounting or post-accounting or whatever you want to call it, onto our overall platform? And look, we're no different, right? There are normally 3 strategies, right? Build, buy, or partner. And our view is you start with partner because that almost builds out the value proposition. And then sometimes that turns into a partner buy and potentially buy that partner, right? Or you look at it and say, well, actually, there's nothing out there that potentially is going to fill this gap. So in that instance, we're actually going to go build it. We all know that building takes a lot longer. So this market and this, especially with this industry and with technology, the way it's moving at such a rapid pace that if you try and build something, by the time you've built it, somebody has already leapfrogged you because they've actually been able to build it, but have already built it with other types of technology, emerging tech. Perfect example is AI, right? We use applied AI. We have done for the last 10 years, machine learning. It's the way that our products work. A new player could come in tomorrow, right? And use all of the great AI tools out there. Problem is, what they don't have is that they don't have a large language model. They don't have 1.5 billion transactions of history. They don't have 450,000 users in there every 90 days. They don't have 700,000 customers.
That's super, yeah, good point. And I think that we should be really proud of ourselves that we made it past 25 minutes without being lazy and saying AI straight away. So I feel like we need a pat on the back for that. But it's a very good point because I think that so often technologies have grown and have that wealth of data that Dex has, often don't have the means to turn or pivot the ship to leverage the new forms of technologies and be able to then see how it can apply to enhancing the experience that you have in your core product. So that is really exciting to hear. And the fact that Dex is taking that stance with it is kudos. And also, as an extension of that, what is your view in terms of what is next for Dex and not just with the product? I guess you've touched on some elements there. Buzzword, obviously, a couple of buzzwords for us, but that are exciting. But what else, like geographics? You said you've got 4 markets. So is there a planned expansion into other territories?
As you mentioned, we're in Canada, we're in the UK, we're in France, and we're in Australia, right? Those are the 4 key territories where I have leadership and partner account managers and people looking after all the AO offices and accountants, bookkeepers. We also have a direct business that sort of overlays the top of that. We have resellers and distributors in other key areas that represent and sell Dex, for example, in South Africa, in Ireland, in Asia. But primarily, it is 4 countries. And as I mentioned earlier, if you add up all the accounting offices and everything else in those 4 regions, you're up to about 150,000. We only have 11,000. So that's 90% in our core markets that we still believe the job's not done. even though we're extremely well known and we've probably got some of the largest accounting organizations, we've got an opportunity really now to expand our presence just where we are today. So geographical expansion is absolutely an option for the future, but just not for today. And the other thing to remember is you look at Australia, look at UK, look at Canada, all Commonwealth countries, all some element of GST, all have some tax and compliance regulatory needs. So that's sort of why it plays to our strengths on tax extraction and keeping of information, data and records. Right? France have a similar requirement, right? And that just reinforces the ability to do multiple languages, different translations, different currencies, all of those different components. And there was a great opportunity. And actually, we're working with real local providers there because there's no Xero, no Sage. Sage is there, but in a smaller form. There's no traditional players. So there, that sort of shows you. Yeah, only recently. So they all have the ability in all of those regions for us to just expand the network that we already have with our accounting offices. We've got close to 50,000 direct clients. So we've got a huge opportunity. When you think in the UK, there's 6.5 million of these businesses. We've probably got about 200,000 or 300,000 through our accountants. So there's still a huge opportunity.
And in terms of if there are any other acquisitions, is there something that you're looking at the moment in terms of that build, buy and partner and who fits into what bucket? Tell us a little bit.
Correct. Yeah, now, of course, I can't go into any of that detail. Oh, but what I can tell you is just, what I can tell you, though, there's nothing that we're not looking at. Let's just say that, right? Because when you own a particular component, right, of bookkeeping data automation, we're at the very start of the journey, right? Before anybody in the entire finance department or the general ledger, before anybody sees that data, we capture it. And we capture so much more than just the financial information, right? On our product roadmap is to go and do mileage tracking, right? Why is that important? You think about it, when you're sitting in a car and you're doing a journey and you then have to work out, oh my God, okay, where did I start from? Where am I going today? How many expenses? How many trips did I do? Wouldn't it be great if just through your phone, using GPS, the system could automatically bring up decks, work out the trip that you're doing. It knows that you're starting the journey and ending the journey because you're in the car and you're moving at pace, and then allow you at the end of it, once you've stopped, to say, are you doing a journey? Do you want me to claim that back as expenses? Click here and it automatically uploads it to decks, right? So those are some of the things we're doing. The other thing also is that I meet a lot of clients. I read a lot of accountants, speak to lots of people. One of the things a lot of people turn around and said, Sabi, I capture so much more than just receipts or invoices. It'd be great if you created something that would just allow me to upload all of my documents, my receipts, my invoices, but also other types of documents. I have a lot of leases. I have a lot of MSAs. I have a lot of agreements and that sort of stuff. So one of the things we're now going to be releasing is something called Dexbox, right? That's our internal name. We'll come up with hopefully some sort of other name, or it may end up being Dexbox, you never know. But what it really does is it allows you to be able to capture as many different types of documents, allows you to categorize them, store them in one place, and then link them all together. So you imagine all of a sudden you've got a invoice and you want to know everything about a particular car registration. Tell me about the agreement. Tell me about the mileage. Tell me about who's been using it. Tell me about all the service history. Tell me about any agreements that we have in place. Being able to search across all of that data that we've captured, most of which you would never want to send into a general ledger, right? But you want the ability to capture it. And we already have the facility of capturing, extracting the key information, loading it up into somewhere, storing it. We already have a great retrieval mechanism with the 1.5 billion transactions that we already have. So those are the types of things that we're looking at, is what will further enhance the user experience, allow people to get more out of the value of extraction, which is something they already do, using the cool features that mobile phones already have around scanning, and then uploading those documents into an environment that allows you to really put a search engine over the top of it. And our guys are extremely capable of creating some search engines that allows people to be able to extract information extremely quickly. So those are just a couple of things that are on our product roadmap when we think of strategy, but it is all based on the core principle of what is it that a bookkeeper is doing And how do you make them more efficient and effective in the role that they play and helping small businesses really capture the true value at source, but not necessarily capturing everything that you would want to load into a general ledger?
Very interesting. I can see the future of that technology already in a couple of different ways. Actually, you're talking contracts, obligation management, talking insurance, talking carbon accounting as well. If you're talking about the mileage trackers, that's really interesting. How did you feel the pricing change rollout had gone for Dext? It was something that struck up quite a lot of controversy last year. It wasn't Dext alone, but we covered it and saw quite a few different takes and slants on it. I know the guy said from their perspective, they were quite happy, but obviously with accountants, you have a lot of different perspectives from all different angles. How do you feel it went?
Yeah, look, this was never, ever going to be an easy subject, right? For anybody, right? The challenge is, and I saw this almost before I started, I also saw this as an opportunity if executed well, right? And I think that I'll be the first person to say that we didn't necessarily get it right in all areas, right? I think we could have done a far better job on communications. We could have done a far better way of engaging with everybody and really setting the groundwork right, a lot better than we did. And that's on me and it's on the team. And since then, we are in the process of rectifying a lot of that. Now, this is one of those things that will probably never happen again for us, right? In relation to having such a material price change in one go. When you're in startup or scale-up mode, the job is to try and land grab as much as you can of the entire user base as quickly as possible. And one simple way of doing that is basically offering unlimited licenses and unlimited usage where you ask everybody to pay one price for as many clients as they want to roll that software out to. Challenge with that model is once you get to a certain level of maturity, it's almost impossible to maintain because what you end up with is that you end up with potential individuals and clients and people using the product that aren't paying for it and don't see the value in it because they're not paying for it. But also you get to a point where as a company, there's no growth. And if there's no growth, how do people expect me to constantly innovate and develop and create new feature, function, build, buy, partner, invest, and everything else? It's almost impossible. So at some point, the best way of doing it, which is that whole maturity curve when you get to growth, which is sort of where we are, is, hey, let's just be honest about this. And it's about, let's make sure we monetize and people who are using the product pay for the product. Right? That's all we're asking for. I think it's a simple way of just asking everybody to say, look, if you really see the value in it, that's all we're asking you to do is just pay for the product. So the whole pricing mechanism was really turning around to somebody and say, instead of giving it to 100 people, we think it should only be 10 of those because all the other 90 are not really using the product. Some of them haven't even registered their username or password. And what we really want to do is sell you the value of the product. We'll constantly put feature functions in there. We'll get you to the aha moment as quickly and as fast as possible. And once you're there, you'll see the real true value of what this can do and change the way that you work and make you more efficient, make you more effective. I can do that now because I've got clients who are engaged, people who are paying for the product. And now I can constantly talk to them, sell them the value, tell them about new features and functions, and really drive an increase in productivity. That was never going to happen under the old model. Now, the job that we've got to do now is make sure everybody sees the value, make sure they bring them on the journey, make sure that the communication in relation to what it is that we're doing is better articulated than it was during the whole pricing and packaging. But yeah, look, lessons absolutely learned. But I'm hoping we'll never go through this again because now I've got clients who are actually monetized and are actually paying for what they're using.
What an innovative new concept, clients paying for the software product. I agree with you 100%. There was one question coming from correspondent John Toon, who has not been able to join us today, but it was more around, as you were saying, you're working with some of the big GLs and how you're working with them, your observations being from Sage, having been in this industry. I think one of the questions was in particular with reference to how you do work with Xero and what direction you think Xero should go in terms of European expansion or whether you felt that someone may acquire them in terms of what their potential is or exit is.
The thing is, you know, unlike other general ledger providers, they've always been cloud, right? They've been native cloud and they have a great value proposition and great product, right? They've got other products where they've got things like XPM and going into practice management. There was enough of an ecosystem globally. And again, if you look at the regions and territories in which they operate, they have pretty much the same regions that we have. I think they're probably bigger in Asia, bigger in South Africa. I know they're trying to penetrate North America, but it's no different to what QBO have been trying to do, right? They've been trying to go into Australia. They were going to France. That didn't work out. They're in the UK. They're the big behemoth in North America. And we partner very strongly with them, right? They're one of our strongest partners up in Canada. And we're on their marketplace for US. Same thing with Sage, right? So all of those people all have their own strategies. With Xero right. in particular, right? I think they've got a similar challenge to us and an opportunity, which is in all the markets that they operate in, they're not the dominant player apart from Australia. So they still have that same opportunity of winning accountants, winning bookkeepers, winning new clients, penetrating into all of those existing markets. So if I was them, I would just do what they're already doing, just focus, right? Drive new partner acquisition, new client acquisition, everything else, right? Same thing we are. They'll be doing the same thing. I've met Sukhinder on several occasions now. I was down in Australia when I joined meeting Steve Vamos. So they've got great leadership, right? They've got people who know what they're doing. They've got people who just know what it takes to run good, profitable organizations. And I think that's also important that when we think about a lot of businesses and sort of startups and everything else, look at the number of organizations that have really high valuations and they're still cash flow negative. They're not profitable, but they got a really good model, right? I don't think that to me is worth some of the market caps that they're getting. You know, a good, sustainable, revenue generating, well-run business that has sustainable and profitable growth, I think is the main component. And I think that's what Xero has abundances of. So if I was them, just carry on doing what they're doing, concentrate on the markets they're already in. What I suggest they don't do, and I think this is a general statement for everybody, is that, and I think we almost made that mistake, is don't move too far away from your core. Don't try and go 3, 4, 5 times removed when you're trying to sell to a different persona, different market, different product set. It's like us when people turn around and say, hey, Sabi, will you ever go into the general ledger world and create your own general ledger? It's actually, why would I? Right? There's enough players out there who do extremely well. It's away from my core market. Yes, I feed general ledgers, but what will that do to my overall market independence and alliances and partnerships? People say, Sammy, why don't you go after into the enterprise space? And it's actually, do I really want to go and compete against the likes of a Sage Intacct or an Acumatica or an SAP and Oracle and all of these other players? No, I don't. There's enough of a market and an opportunity where I am today. Focus, opportunity. If something lands on our plate, we'll absolutely look at it, review it, go for it. It's a bit like your question earlier on acquisitions and those sort of things, right? I get flooded with, hey, Sabi, buy this, look at these businesses. We think these are core. They don't understand our business enough to understand what's core to us. Mm. So that would be my two cents for the guys at Xero.
Very nice. So you're not interested in buying our podcast after all? Great news.
Too far removed.
Thank you for today and thank you for your time as well. And I think it has been really insightful to understand your take on the last year, how you see the lay of the land going forward, and also interesting to know how Dex sees itself in that space, in the market, how it sees it in relation to the other players.
My pleasure, Indy. And again, apologies for not doing this earlier. Really enjoyed it and look forward to the next one.
Yeah. I'm just curious, who would you like to hear more from? What are you curious about speaking more to at the moment, just so we can help you get some inbound?
I think it's the same thing that everybody would love to know on, right? It's the insights into technology, right? If you think about any business out there today, everybody is impacted about technology. But what's the next big thing, right? We talk about AI. It was almost like a couple of years ago, we were talking about cloud. Then we're talking about, before that, it was about client server. That's what I constantly speak to my product team and my head of innovation and chief product technology officer. It's okay, but what's next? what's the potential of the next opportunity and getting those insights so that people really understand what can they benefit from, right? AI is a perfect example where everybody, the number one question people ask me is saying, Sabi, I know you guys use AI and everything. How could I use it in my business? And it's, guys, think about the biggest use case for AI at today for any business is customer support, customer service, it's customer engagement, it's online, it's intercom, it's anything that you do, chatbots, that sort of stuff. It's a simple use case you're going to go and implement tomorrow, right? And there's a lot of organizations that offer it. But if you don't take up opportunity of it now, most people would have done this probably 6 or 9 months ago. Because to me, I'm asking, so what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen in 25? Is it going to be mobile? Is it going to be, I don't know, biometrics? Is it cybersecurity? Is it UX? What is it that all of a sudden people are going to be thinking about that's going to affect and disrupt not our model, because I think we've got a very strong one, but could potentially impact SMBs and small business owners, because those are the people I'm trying to protect. I'm trying to make their life easier so that they can actually go off and spend that time worrying about their business, but just know that we've got their backs when it comes to all the invoicing receipts and capturing that information and making sure it's as accurate. You know, we've got 97% accuracy in everything that we pull. When somebody knows that and loads it in, they'll look at it and turn around and say, well, actually, I want to work with those guys.
Nice. There you have it. If you are an oracle and have some predictions for the next 10 years, then get in touch with Sabi. Thanks again. And we will catch up with you probably again just to check in, hopefully, the next sort of foreseeable period.
Look forward to it.
Okay, so that wraps up another episode of the Digitools and Accrual World podcast. As mentioned at the top, we were sponsored by Free Agent for this episode, so thank you very much, Team Free Agent, for that. Hopefully you enjoyed the interview with Sabi, and we've got some great insights there on what's happening with Dext and what the future holds, and the usual app news and the usual nonsense from us guys. As always, look, we would love you to follow us, to like us, to write a review, to tell us what's good or bad, contact us directly or through the website. And if you want to know anything more about Digital Disruptors, you can, of course, go to the Digital Disruptors website to find out more and join us with our little movement that we're trying to get going. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and we will be back soon.